जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, जय गोपी जनवाला गिरिवर दारी, जय गोपी जनवाला गिरिवर दारी, यशोरनंदन व्रज जन रंजन, यशोरनंदन व्रज जन रंजन, जमुना तीरा वनचारी, जमुना तीरा वनचारी, जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, reading from Srimad Bhagavad Gita, chapter 17, text 2. Sri Bhagavan Uvacha, Trivida Bhavati Shraddha, Dehinam Sasvabhavascha, Sattviki Rajasi Chaiva, Tamasi Cheti Tam Shrinu, Shri Bhagavan Uvacha, Trivida Bhavati Shraddha, Dehinam Sasvabhavaja, Sattviki Rajasi Chaiva, Tamasi Cheti Tam Shrinu, Shri Bhagavan Uvacha, Trivida Bhavati Shraddha, Dehinam Sasvabhavaja, Sattviki Rajasi Chaiva, Tamasi Cheti Tam Shrinu.
Sri
Shri Bhagavan Uvacha. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, Trivedā, of three kinds, Bhavati, becomes, Shraddha, the faith, Dehinam, of the embodied, Sa, that, Svabhavaja, according to his mode of material nature. Sattvaki, in the mode of goodness. Rajasi, in the mode of passion. Cha, also. Eva, certainly. Tamasi, in the mode of ignorance. Cha, and. Iti, thus. Tam, that. Shrinu, hear from me. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, according to the modes of nature acquired by the embodied soul, one's faith can be of three kinds, in goodness, in passion, or in ignorance. Now hear about this. Purport. Those who know the rules and regulations of the scriptures, but out of laziness or indolence, give up following these rules and regulations are governed by the modes of material nature. According to their previous activities in the mode of goodness, passion, or ignorance, they acquire a nature which is of a specific quality. The association of the living entity with the different modes of nature has been going on perpetually, since the living entity is in contact with material nature. He acquires different types of mentality according to his association with the material modes. But this nature can be changed if one associates with a bona fide spiritual master and abides by his rules and the scriptures. Gradually, one can change his position from ignorance to goodness or from passion to goodness. The conclusion is that blind faith in a particular mode of nature cannot help a person become elevated to the perfectional stage. One has to consider things carefully, with intelligence, in the association of a bona fide spiritual master. Thus, one can change his position to a higher mode of nature. Om Akyanti Mirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manubhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svabhadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatan Sahagana Raganatan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakanpitamscha. He Krishna Karana Sindhu Dino Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanjana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Prishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Panchakalpa Turyubhishcha Kripa Sindhu Bevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadada Shivasade Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Beg for the blessings of the assembled devotees. May our words, our consciousness be aligned with Guru Parampara. May Shishi Radha Shyam Sundar be pleased. May all the devotees be benefited by hearing Srimad Bhagavad Gita. Hare Krishna. Again, this is chapter 17, which is entitled The Divisions of Faith, text 2. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, according to the modes of nature acquired by the embodied soul, one's faith can be of three kinds, in goodness, in passion, or in ignorance. Now hear about this. This chapter is called Shraddha Traya Vibhag Yoga. Shraddha means faith, Traya, three. Vibhag means divisions or categories, yoga. Every chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, the purpose of it is yoga, to connect with God. So even this chapter, that must mean that an understanding of faith is necessary in order to connect with God. Because this is also yoga, this chapter. It will lead to your connection with God by an understanding of faith. What is faith? So the whole Bhagavad Gita, every chapter, is about this yoga, connecting to the Lord again. Yogeshwaro Krishno, in the last verse of the Gita, Sanjay says, and who are we hearing from about yoga? Yogeshwara, the master of yoga, Krishna. So who better to hear from? We're hearing from the Lord of Yoga, the Master of Yoga, who's Krishna. So we're speaking here about Shraddha, which means, what does this word mean? Shraddha. It means the heart, where the heart is fundamentally placed. What we fundamentally trust in. It's a good question to ask yourself, right? What do I fundamentally trust in? Here I am in this material world. What is it that I truly hold to be true about the purpose? That's what your faith is in. And in general, if you think about it, when we talk about being under the modes of material nature, this is not a decision that we make. I'm going to put my faith here. I've read this or done this, and now I'm going to put my faith here. Because this verse says, where does this Shraddha come from? Svabhavaja. It's born of your nature. We're all influenced by the modes of nature, and from that contact, a particular faith evolves. So it's not so much a decision that I make, I'm going to have faith in this, I'm going to have faith in that. You can't help it when you're under the influence of the modes. You're simply moving in a certain direction. Your heart is directed somewhere because of the mode of nature. Svabhava ja. Ja means born, like janma. So it's born, your shraddha, your faith is born from the mode of nature that you're under. If you think about it, right, we don't choose our inclinations in life. Somebody is inclined to dance. Somebody's inclined to do business. You know, there's all kinds of inclinations. In a sense, we don't choose them. They're inside of us, and we're just fulfilling them, right? Why do you do this in life? Why do you do this kind of work? Did you decide one day? We may have to choose some specifics about that work, but really we have a nature that's unfolding because of our contact with material energy. Therefore, in the 14th chapter, Krishna says, Nanyam gune bhya kartaram yada drashta nupashyati. One who truly sees, when they look at this material world, they see that no one is acting. There's no performer other than the modes of material nature. That's what the verse says. Nanyam, no other. Gune, nothing else but the modes are moving. Because they're inside of people, they're inside of us. And so even when you see a person acting, it's the modes within them pushing them to act. And so one who actually sees nothing but the modes of nature moving. That person truly sees. So this is an important realization for us, because it means with the beginning of self-knowledge is to realize I'm controlled. I feel like I'm independent. I feel like, you know, I can do whatever I want, but to have the deep realization that actually I'm being controlled. Not many people have this realization. We feel in control. But this is the beginning of self-knowledge. There's this famous aphorism you've heard maybe. Man, know thyself. The first step. This was actually engraved on the pediment of the Temple of Delphi in Greece. There was a temple there. And you walk through the first gate, and engraved above was this statement, man, know thyself. The first thing before you enter in and go deeper into the sanctuary, before you learn deeper things in life, you have to know yourself, the situation of yourself. And this is not psychology, actually. This is not modern psychology. To know, when we hear about knowing ourselves, we may think of modern psychology, to know all the ins and outs of myself, my weaknesses, my strengths, things I like, things I don't like. That's not what the Vedic culture means by self-knowledge. That has its place. You know, we see with the emergence of modern psychology, which is pretty recent, you know, it's the beginning of the 20th century. Psychology became very important in the world, but it's mostly about personal processes, personal conflicts, personal experiences, and trying to make some improvement. This is all, you know, an improvement within the modes of nature. It has its place, it has some importance, but nothing there can liberate us. And if we're honest with what we truly want in our hearts, we want that. We want freedom. We want truth. We want love. We want purity. So the psychological process, the approach that's come into this world just in the early 20th century, it's about the conflicts and the issues and working them out, but nothing there can liberate us. That's what's missing in it. So there can be some temporary adjustment, but nothing that truly frees the self from the self. Because there's two selves. That's the beginning of self-knowledge, to understand that there are two selves. There's this I, this ahankar. I'm identifying right now with this body, with this mind, with my culture, with my race, whatever it may be. There's that identification. And I call that, when I say I, that's what I refer to. But behind that, that we lost touch with, is the Atma, the true self. So this is the beginning of self. This is what the Bhagavad Gita gives that's not there in any kind of modern psychological system. It starts off with this very high point. There's a personality, of course, and we're entangled in the modes, and there's a way of working through them and trying to improve our situation, some peace of mind. Who can blame anybody for striving for that? But at the same time, that itself will not free anybody from the material modes of nature. So self-knowledge, chetra chetra gya sam yogat tat vidi. Krishna says, one who knows, there is chetra and chetra gya. There's the field and the knower of the field. Yanti te param, one who knows this, the field and the knower of the field, one who knows those two things, the small self, you could say, and the real self, yanti te param, they approach the Supreme. They begin to approach the Supreme. So this is an anartha that we have, that we're misidentified. There are four kinds of anarthas. This anartha, the four categories of anarthas. Anartha means something that's unwanted. Artha means something that's valuable. Anartha means it has no value. So anartha means things that have no value that we're holding on to in our hearts. And there are four categories of anarthas. There's asat trishna, which means this thirst for sense gratification. There's aparad. This is another kind of anartha, which is offense. And we know about the 10 offenses help to rectify us from this offensive mentality. There's also weakness of heart, another anartha. Which, what does that mean? It means when we fall more deeply into feelings like lamentation, depression, anxiety. It's a kind of weakness of the heart. And then there's Svarup Brahma, which is what we're talking here, this misidentification of the self. It's a mistake. Svarup Brahma means, Brahma means mistake. Svarup of your identity, of who you actually are. So those are the real things to look at in ourselves and in our lives to overcome. We are identified with Kshetra, the field. You know, you look out into a field, you see so many things, so many objects. There's grass and there's trees and different shrubs. So we think, I'm a subjective being, and all of this out here is the Kshetra, all the material world, it's the field. But also the field is the mind. Also the field is the body. So this is a powerful view of reality. It changes everything. To really embrace this truth and to try to live from it will start to help separate us from the conditioning. Because we need to become separated from the conditioning. That's what bhakti begins, sarvopadi vinir muktam. You have to give up the false identities, the designations that we're holding on to. When those are given up, then one can perform bhakti. But if you're performing bhakti thinking, I'm man, I'm woman, I'm black, I'm white, I'm Indian, American, I have that kind of bhakti, you know. It's under the modes. It's mixed. And therefore it's very slow. Bhakti is so powerful that it will affect us anyhow. But if we can give up some of these identities, understanding who we truly are, the Atma and the spirit soul, and what is the nature of the soul? It is to serve. So to really embrace that identity, I'm a servant of God. Let me act that way. When I speak to someone, let me remember that. How can I serve God in this situation that I'm in right now? That shift in perspective will help us. Otherwise, we're all born within frameworks of material nature, some tribe or some race, some culture, some religion. Religion can also be something that is just an external identity that you grow up with, you're born into. That doesn't guarantee that you actually have a connection to God or a connection to your soul. In fact, religions can even block that. You know, they can become very cultish, or they can just become about some social belonging. You know, we need that. We need to belong. We need to be connected to a community. But we have to keep alive the real spirit of it, and not just make it a gathering, a social gathering. You know, I go to the concerts, I go to the parades, I do this, I go to the movies, and I go to the church, and I go to the temple sometimes on Sunday or whatever. You know, it becomes just another part of your material life. But no, when you step into the temple, into the church, there's an opportunity here that can change everything in your life, that can transform your life. That's what we have to see and remember. So these identities, you know, it's all the field. It's not the truth. It's not Kshetragya. The knower of the field is the soul who sees all this, what's happening. I want to read the next verse as well, because it makes a very interesting point about faith. Faith also becomes, for the most part, the field, the Kshetra. I have faith in this, I have faith in that. So the next verse says, O son of Bharat, according to one's existence under the various modes of nature, one evolves a particular kind of faith. The living being is said to be of a particular faith according to the modes he has acquired. So again, same point. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he explains some interesting things about faith in Jaiva Dharma. This is like one of his masterpiece books, Jaiva Dharma. It's composed, very amazing book, you should read it if you haven't read it. It's composed almost as a story. There's about different personalities who go to great pure devotees to hear about truth. You know, some of them are atheistic or maybe agnostic or wherever they're coming from. They're going to holy places and they're seeing these great pure Vaishnavas, and they ask questions. And so the whole book is questions and answers, conversations, and you learn all the tattva. You learn all the truths of bhakti. In Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he used the literature of all the Goswamis are contained in that book. So by reading that one book, you learn the teachings of the six Goswamis. You learn all the major scriptures that are in our tradition. Who has the time or the ability, or the I'm speaking for myself, who has the ability to even read those books? But this one book, all the truths are there. So he speaks a lot about shraddha, faith. And he makes the point that faith, it's originally transcendental. When we separate from God, that faith, there's a faith, there's a longing to go back to God. That is your shraddha. You want to redirect yourself back to what you've been separated from, your source. But when that faith, it comes under the modes of nature, then it comes filtered under the modes of nature and goes in three directions: goodness, passion, and ignorance. Now your transcendental faith takes a material form. It goes into something good. You know, the Gita also describes what is faith in the mode of goodness. Anyone know that? What do you worship? If you're in the mode of goodness and you have that faith, where does it go to? Huh? Yeah. Karma.
Those who believe only do something to get something is the only way.
Yeah.
They also have faith.
Yeah.
They are rajasi. Tamasi or karma sarta. One who doesn't believe in religious activity trying to escape from
their tamasi. That's Bhagavatam verse, no?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, 11th canto. There's a chapter in the 11th canto about the modes of nature. And Pran Govind Prabhu is explaining that when you have this goodness, then adhyatmika, right? It goes towards the supreme in general. Nothing specific, but there's a direction towards the spirit. When it's rajasic, when you're in the mode of passion, the faith is in karma, which means action, activity. You know, I don't know if there's God or no God, but I have to just work. I have people to provide for. I have to do things. I have to get busy. There's so much that has to be done. Right? This is, your faith is in that. I believe that this is what life is about. Just do your work. Do what you can do. Try to do your best. You know, people who speak like that. It's the rajasic mind. And then tamas. Adharma. It goes against, there's a kind of faith. Again, faith means where your heart is directed. So your heart is directed in darker things. Maybe you don't care so much even about action, about these higher things. There's a kind of dark tinge to your faith, and it's adharmic, against the principles of religion. You do that with your life. Violence, certain harshness or worship. You know, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says there are two kinds of jivas: those who worship the three modes of nature, and those who are trying to overcome the three modes of nature. So the Gita also says, in the mode of goodness, this is the Vedic context. This is not so relevant anymore in a sense, because we don't have even any knowledge of these things. But in the Vedic context, if you're in the mode of goodness, you worship the demigods. In the mode of passion, you worship the demons. Interesting. But the demons, the verse says, the yakshas. The yakshas have a relationship with Kuvera, descendants of Kuvera. So in some way they're not just these evil demons. It's also, there's a Bhagavatam verse, the yakshas are semi-pious gods. Something like that. Yeah, so. And then you worship for the mode of ignorance. What do we worship? Oh, ghosts and spirits, yes. So you don't find that so much in the world today, although a little bit maybe. But nowadays, you know, what do we do? If someone's in the mode of goodness and their heart is into that, what are they, I don't know, what do you think is a manifestation of their faith in the mode of goodness? What are they after? What are they trying for? What are they doing? Any thoughts on that? Yes.
Liberation.
Liberation, that's too high for most people too. It seems, you know, just think of a good person in this world who's just trying to, you know. But that's true, it's connected to the adhyatma, the spirit. So, nature, yeah, the earth, do, you know, some good cause, you know.
Altruistic
work, yeah. You know, we can call this humanism. Human values, just good values, good people. Just do what's right, be good, be honest, you know, work hard, things like this. This is a kind of worship of that principle. And rajasic, we come back to karma. Those who are, you know, again, you've seen this world, just who are working. People who say things like, you know, it's a dog-eat-dog world. You just have to survive. Just do it. Take care of yourself. Take care of your family. And then the mode of ignorance. How does that manifest today?
Escaping.
You just don't care. Maybe irresponsible escape. Whatever. You know? Huh? Intoxication, violence, anger. Huh?
Sex, drugs, rock
and roll. Yeah, sex, drugs, rock and roll. Yeah, so this is still going on. It's still going on, and it's going in three different directions. But here's the thing, the amazing thing, the beautiful thing, the blessing, is that the devotees of the Lord, being beyond the modes of nature, they are wandering this material world. And if we come in contact with them, then a new opportunity comes. We're so fortunate if there's some attraction to such a person. Like everyone who's here, something in you is attracted to something beyond these material modes, something truly spiritual. If we associate with that person, if we hear Srila Prabhupada, if we hear pure Vaishnavas, their vibration, then first it's described in Jaiva Dharma that they direct us to, it is not transcendental faith immediately, but first they direct your faith towards the Shastra. Shastriya Shraddha it's called. So you start to get faith in books like Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam. And from that contact, and then he says the next kind of faith, this is all really a return to our true faith. But because we've been entangled in the modes, there's a kind of process way out. First, the Shastra. Then from the Shastra and deliberating on the Shastra, he says one arrives at Nirguna Shraddha. A faith that's beyond the modes of nature. Nirguna means no gunas, no modes, material modes. So this is a state of consciousness. It's called tatashta svabhava. Svabhava means your nature. There's three kinds of svabhava. There's your nature under the modes of nature. Svabhava can just mean your relationship to this material world and the mode you're under. Tatashta svabhava means the nature of your tatashta consciousness. Tatashta means that part of you. We're actually in between spirit and matter. The jiva is nature. He's like in between two places. To realize that, to come to the nature, oh, I've fallen into this material world, but there's an opportunity to go back to the spiritual world. To really have an experience and realization of that, you're in that nature. And then above that, then there's by again associating with devotees, then they can give a greater focus to our Shraddha, where it directly goes towards Krishna. Therefore, Prabhupada says the highest kind of faith is, you know this verse from Chaitanya Charitamrita. Yes, I'll read here. I wrote, this is a verse describing what Prabhupada calls the higher level of faith from Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Lila, chapter 22, text 62. Shraddha Shabde Vishvas Kahe Sudrida Nishchaya Krishna Bhakti Kaile Sarva Karma Krita Hoy. Then a faith gets more and more focused and refined. And what does that become? What's the mood of it? Is that by loving service to Krishna, all my other responsibilities are taken care of. Everything else is accomplished. If I can just, you know, it becomes very directly towards Krishna and the surrender to Krishna. Mam ekam sharanam vraja. That if I just turn completely to Krishna, to give my life to Krishna, give my consciousness to Krishna, if I return my whole self, atma nikshepav, Atma Nivedana, if I give my whole self and surrender to the Lord, everything will be accomplished. The love that I'm longing for. the purity, the freedom, and also everyone around me. Everything is accomplished by that, right? When you water the root of a tree, then all the branches, all the leaves, everything gets nourished. So everything in your life will be perfect if I can completely surrender myself to Krishna. That's another kind of faith. That's the deeper kind of faith. I wanted to just read, and then we'll stop for any comments or questions. A little excerpt from Prabhupada, where he sums up this whole thing I shared of the different developments of faith. This is from a lecture of Srimad Bhagavatam, 7th canto. So this is what Prabhupada says. I'll read directly from his words. This is a lecture. The first business, ado, in the beginning, is guru ashrayam, to take shelter of a bona fide spiritual master. And this takes place when there is shraddha. Just like in this meeting, persons who have got a little faith, they can sit down and hear. So a little faith causes all of us to be here, to sit down, let me listen. Some faith is there. This is called shraddha. And the higher stage of shraddha, is to completely accept the instruction of Krishna, to accept the shastra. Right? So first something just brings us here. That's some faith. But now it has to be directed towards guru, sadhu, shastra. And this way it deepens. And then Prabhupada says, and the highest stage of shraddha is to the higher stage is to completely accept the instructions of Krishna, of the shastra. And then in Chaitanya Charitamrita, that is the highest state of shraddha, which is the verse that we just read, when it's directly towards the surrender to Krishna. And Prabhupada quotes, Sarva dharman parityajya mam ekam sharanam vraja, aham tvam sarva papebhyo moksha yishami mashachaha. This is shraddha. This is faith. Yes, Krishna says that simply by surrendering at his lotus feet, one immediately becomes liberated. Just like if I offer you that if you do this work, I shall give you immediately 50,000 rupees. So who will believe me? This man is a beggar, sannyasi. How he'll give 50,000 rupees? So there is no shraddha. But we cannot do so with the reference to Krishna. When Krishna says, aham tvam sarva papebhyo moksha yishami, that is a fact. That is not a bogus promise. Because Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, all-powerful. Whatever He likes, He can do. This is called faith. This is faith. Whatever Krishna likes, He can do. So I surrender to Him. And the impossible can become possible. That is faith. Prabhupada says, after reading Bhagavad Gita, if one does not get this faith in Krishna, then his reading of the Bhagavad Gita is a useless waste of time. That's all. So faith, this topic is not just for the beginning devotee. It's the thread. Faith is the thread that leads to Krishna. If we follow that thread all the way back up, there's a purport where Prabhupada says the beginning is faith. When that faith fully matures, it is called love of God. So think about that. That little thing inside of you, that subtle inclination you have to come in here, to chant, to associate with devotees. When that seed, bhakti lata bij, that seed starts to mature when it's watered by hearing, by chanting, when it's protected with a fence, which is sadhu sangha, and that seed begins to grow and grow and grow and mature, it finally takes the form of love for God. This is the whole purpose of religion, to reconnect us to that love that we have forgotten. So we'll stop here. Thank you so much. Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki. Srila Prabhupada ki. Any comments? Yes, Prabhu. Comments, questions, corrections?
Thank you for this great class. On the topic of Maya, it's my understanding that Maya has two components, external and internal.
Yes.
And it was very it was easier for me to understand the external component of Maya because, you know, it's everything that's temporary. And I can see outside the things that are temporary, you know, things die, things get older, and, you know, on the internal aspect of Maya, you know, Krishna created Maya, you know, he created everything. Krishna created everything. He even created this Maya outside, this material world of unlimited material universes. Yeah. But the internal Maya, are we the creators of that internal Maya, or is Krishna also creating that internal Maya? And is thinking Maya, like are our thoughts Maya?
Mm. Yeah, so in a sense, we've created both Mayas. Because Krishna's just responding to a desire that we had to be separate from him. So the living entity thinks, what if I was the supreme, or what if I could be the controller? What if I could be the enjoyer? When that comes into the consciousness, then out of necessity, Krishna has to create the world of Maya, because it only can take place in illusion, because that is you can never be the supreme. God is supreme. And we're meant to all acknowledge that. But if we want something different, it can only happen under an illusion. So Krishna responds to our desire by creating the material world. And as soon as you come in contact with this material world, the energies are also there, right? Like you were saying, energies are there. And those energies, they get inside of us. And they're in our minds. And so most people, their thoughts, their feelings, their desires, it's all Maya. It's all illusion in the sense that their soul will never do those things. But somehow, their soul will never have materialistic desires, sinful thoughts. So it's the jiva that gets entangled in the energies of the material creation. They get inside of us and we identify with them. So we want to watch also our minds, see where things are coming up from and realize, well, that's also not me. Let me separate from that. Right now there's a strong urge for this thing that will be harmful for me. Can I just see it and watch it and separate and ask Krishna, please protect me? You see, then you're separating from the Maya that's internal. But so Maya, the modes of nature are everything in this material world. So that means, that's like I was saying that verse, chetra, chetra, gya. So under chetra, under the field, it's everything. Everything physical, everything subtle, all levels, it's all separated in a sense. And in another sense, it's all energy, it's all coming from God. But still, we have to understand the distinction between the world of Maya and the true world of Krishna. You know.
Thank you, Prabhu.
Hare Bol.
Yes, Prabhu.
Jai. Yes, Prangamim, Prabhu. Appreciate your encouragement.
In the beginning you said, Saddha means where your heart is. And you explain about this material Saddha.
Yeah.
And then you also give the reference of 11th canto. Mm. In that verse, Krishna says, Shraddha is eternal.
Mm.
Shraddha is not something. Even if I say I don't believe in anything, that is also my faith.
That's faith, yeah.
So it's very interesting that Prabhupada in one lecture, he said, the belief may change, but your eternal nature will never change. Mm. The dharma will never change. So it makes sense if you just connect it.
Yes.
Very nice.
Thank you, Prabhu.
And I also like your conclusion that how we should try to elevate and hold on to the Nirgun Shraddha.
Mm.
And you quoted that Chaitanya Chaitanya Shraddha Shraddha. Mm. Wonderful. I hope everybody got
it. Thank you, Pierre Krishna. Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Hare Krishna.